Please be seated. An old man, stumbling through the woods, totally drunk, comes upon a preacher baptizing people down by the river. The old drunk, wanting to be friendly, walks into the water and bumps into the preacher. The preacher turns around. He's overcome by the smell of booze. He grabs the drunk and he asks him, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" "Yes, I certainly am," replies the drunk. So the preacher lifts him up and then dunks him in the river. He pulls him up and he asks the old drunk, "Brother, did you find Jesus?" The drunk replies, "No, I surely didn't." The preacher is shocked by his answer, so he dunks him into the water again, and this time he holds him down a little longer. He pulls him out of the water and he asks again, "Have you found Jesus, my brother?" The drunk again answers, "No, I mostly have not found Jesus." By this time, the preacher is at his wit's end, so he dunks the drunk in water again, but this time he holds him down for almost a full minute. Well, the old drunk man begins kicking and flailing his arms and his legs, and the preacher pulls him up, and then the preacher asks again, "For the love of God, man, did you find Jesus this time?" And the drunk wipes his eyes, catches his breath, and says slurringly to the preacher, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" I know that's an old joke, but honestly, I thought of that old joke again when I looked at today's lectionary texts. The second Sunday of Christmas, this is what today is. We observe it, and it doesn't happen every year. Whether there is a second Sunday of Christmas depends on when Christmas Day falls and whether there are two Sundays before the day of Epiphany, which is on January 6th. And I guess since this Sunday doesn't happen all that often, the framers of our lectionary decided just to throw all the Christmas leftovers against the wall and see if anything sticks. What you don't realize, because we don't have these bulletin inserts, is that there are actually three Gospels for today. We only read one, the one of the wise men that you heard Father Tom read. The other choices are from Matthew, and this is when the angel told Joseph to take his family to Egypt. And then one from Luke, where Jesus is 12 and is lost at the temple over the Passover. It seems that those who wrote the Gospels just don't remember the rest of the story the same way. This, though, is the rest of the Christmas story, if you will. And very frankly, I didn't expect much in attendance this morning, especially knowing there would be a storm. And I knew I had these three stories, and I knew I needed to write this sermon before I went out of town last week, although there was plenty of sermon material in New Orleans. But I figured I would just pick one and throw something in there about Happy New Year, and then we could all go home. But as I began that task, I kept running up against a brick wall. I knew that I could preach the Herod story of how he viewed Jesus' birth as a threat to the religious hierarchy, but I don't believe that. I think what Herod did with the wise men has everything to do with politics, political power, and has absolutely nothing to do with theology. I could preach about the wise men searching for Jesus to worship him, but the truth is that these wise men were sent by Herod as pawns to find the Christ child so the threat could be eliminated. So I could do the easy thing and just preach about Jesus in the temple at the age of 12, astounding and teaching the leaders and the rabbis and the chief priests. But the truth is, that's not much of a sermon either. Because believe me, there are a whole lot of 12-year-olds who have a whole lot more understanding of God than a whole lot of priests. So in my search for a sermon, in my search for a way to wrap up the Christmas story, I realized that there was something that each of these stories had in common. In each case, there were people looking for Jesus. They were all different people looking for Jesus for a variety of different reasons, but they were looking nonetheless. And it occurred to me that the, the Christmas story really doesn't matter much unless our lives of faith are spent doing the same thing. Looking for Jesus. Searching for him with the same diligence and persistence as the characters in our stories. From the earliest memories I have, I knew who Jesus was. It was simply the way I was raised. But I'll admit to you that I never saw Jesus until I started searching. And my life changed forever when I started to look for God. See, knowing Jesus just makes the Christmas story and everything else we do in church, frankly, makes it just a nice story in a good book. But it's when we search for Christ, or at least keep our eyes open to the reality that the risen Christ is made known through those who don't merely proclaim his words, but by those who live like him. And folks, I assure you that the Christ we all seek seldom looks the way he's supposed to. In fact, there's so often when we see him, our reaction usually gives us a jolt, because our eyes almost involuntarily turn the other way. He doesn't look like he's supposed to. Like Mary and Joseph and Herod and wise men, we all come from different perspectives in our search for Christ. We all search for different reasons. Sometimes we need a pastor, sometimes a teacher, a friend. Sometimes we need some excitement in our lives, some peace, some relief, some answers, a way out. Sometimes even to pick a fight with someone else. And the questions, it seems, are always greater than the answers. But do we recognize Christ? Do we recognize Jesus in the crowd or in the faces of the people that we see every single day? Are we looking for Jesus, or are we really looking for something else? Something that won't make us uncomfortable or out of place? Are we looking for transformation? Are we looking for comfort during our sorrow? Are we looking for guidance at the difficult times in our lives? The answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes to every one of those things. But the finding is worth it. In fact, the finding of the Christ is worth everything, because it is that place that transforms us, changes us. It's the place where we love a little deeper, forgive a little faster, understand a little better. It is the place where we give a little more, where we remember with a little more gratitude, where we can celebrate, where we can give thanks, and where we can rejoice, all with that incredible sense of awe and wonder, no matter the season of the year. So don't be content with what messengers or pastors or priests or whoever. Don't be content with what they have to say about your Savior. Don't be satisfied with signs in the sky. Search for Jesus as shepherds did. Long for God as parents did. Seek and worship him as wise men did. Risk whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to see Jesus, because God responds to those who seek him. Not those who seek doctrine or religion or systems or creeds as substitutes. Many folks settle for that. But God responds to those who settle for nothing less than Jesus himself. And then, and only then, can Christmas truly become a part of our very being. God love you. Amen.